I wasn't here Wednesday night. I was preaching revival. Had somebody saved. It was powerful. It was electric. I mean, it just, I hadn't seen it in a while, and I was really, really rejoicing over it. So, but I'm glad to be back on Buffalo Creek and back at Mount Pleasant. Turning your Bibles this morning to Psalm chapter 14. Psalm chapter 14. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the Lord. It's interesting to me that this psalm is repeated. It's very unique in Psalm 53. If you would turn over there. It's as if God is emphasizing the importance of believing there is a God that you are accountable to, and also at the same time, because he's really exposing human depravity. If those verses sounded familiar, it's because a lot of what's written in Psalm 14 and 53 is also written in Romans chapter 3. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There's none that seeketh after God. Verse 1, Psalm 53. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men, to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. By the way, that verse right there refutes the idea that God looked down in the future and saw who would repent and believe, and on that basis, he elected them. That's all turned around. God saw every man in Adam fallen, corrupt, broken. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. God had to choose a people. And because of that electing decree, that's the reason why they repent and believe. The Bible says that in Acts, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. So don't get the order wrong. Don't let Arminian theology infect your thinking. Salvation is from beginning to end. God, it originates with God. Verse 3. Every one of them is gone back. They are together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And that word filthy, it also means stinking. As if they're so corrupt, they're rotten. They're a stench in the nostrils of God. That's what I was. That's what you were. Till the Lord saved you, cleaned you up, washed you in the blood of the Lamb, put His Spirit in you, gave you the ability to repent and believe, and now you're following the Lord. What a glorious thing to not be part of this description any longer. I'm saved. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God. Now, I'm going to focus on atheism today. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, this is God's word. This is God's truth. This is what God is saying authoritatively. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, He moved upon the chief musician to write these words. So we have to regard it as absolute truth. And God makes it clear that it is the height of folly, of foolishness, to proclaim that there is no God. Everything in creation, the makeup of the human body, the order of the universe, it all tells us there is absolutely an intelligent designer, God Almighty. And then the Bible reveals that He has ordered all things. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. God is not only the Creator, He is the Sovereign. He is infinite in holiness and righteousness and purity. Our text plainly states that there are those who want to dismiss the idea of God, who wish that there is no God in their heart. But as they look into the deep recesses of their own depravity, these are people that are so overcome with sin, with hardness of heart, with hatred for God, that they want to completely dismiss the very notion of God, the idea of God. They want to convince their heart that there is no God. The problem is, God's put something in them that they'll never get away from. Conscience. Whenever you talk to an atheist, if they're really an atheist, one of the best things to say to them is, well, you're really not an atheist. You may say that there is no God, but if there's no God, there's no law. If there's no law, you can do whatever you want without any consequences. Do you think it's right for a man to steal your wife? Do you think it's right for a man to come and steal your property? And they'll say, absolutely not. No, I don't believe in stealing. I don't believe in adultery. How come? I mean, if there's no God, there's no law. There's no moral authority. Ah, but their conscience. And I guarantee you, if they lie, they feel guilty. Because if they're honest and you ask them, have you ever lied? Now, if you run into somebody that says, no, I've never lied, right there you need to call them a liar. One time I ran into a guy, and he got really mad at me. I was much younger. I was full of vim and vigor and vinegar. And ran across a guy that he literally, when he came to the door, I told him that I started sharing my testimony. I said, I'm a sinner saved by grace. And oh, he got mad that I said, well, if you're a sinner, then you're not saved. And if you're saved, then you're not a sinner. So you need to quit saying that. And I said, well, Paul the Apostle said, in Romans 7, "Oh, wretched man that I am," he said, that was before he was saved. No, that's not true. I said, no way. That was his struggle inwardly. And then I looked at him. He had been watching a ball game because I heard it through the screen door. Now, mind you, if you want to watch the Cincinnati Reds lose, I don't care. It doesn't bother me at all, okay? This guy was watching a Reds game and obviously was enjoying it when he came to the... And so he started talking like us. So I said, wait a minute. You're telling me that you haven't sinned since you've been saved? That's exactly right. I'm no longer a sinner. And I said, oh. Correct me if I'm wrong, but when I came up here, were you watching the Reds game? He said, yeah, but what's that got to do with it? Well, I mean, the first and greatest commandment, you know what that is? He said, no. I thought to myself, well, that's a sin. I said, well, let me tell you what the first and greatest commandment is. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And I said, I want to know, were you loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength as you saw that guy rounding second and heading for third? Were you completely engaged in the worship of God, or was your mind on that ball game? You weren't entirely devoted to God while you were doing that. I said, so you're a liar. You just sinned. Woo! And that set him off. He said, get off my porch. The guy I was with, he was getting worried. He said, preacher, come on, man. I said, furthermore, I said, if you're such a good Christian, it's never sin. It's a hot day out here. Here me and this brother are knocking doors, and you've never even offered a disciple a cold drink of water in Jesus' name. He said, get out of here! So I'm walking, and I said, you better repent! And he slammed the door. Again, I was a lot younger then. But everything I said was true. But see, people can convince themselves that there's no God, there's no sin. And I heard the story of an atheist who had to appear before a judge. And he was complaining that all religions have their holidays, and he lamented that atheists don't have even one holiday to celebrate. This was a great, clever judge. The judge said, oh, you're wrong there. You're mistaken. There is a holiday that's named in your honor. They call it April Fool's Day. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, I don't know if this other story is true. I want to believe that it is because I love to tell it. There was an atheist professor that was delivering a lecture, and he was ranting and raving that there is no God, and he's pounding on the lectern, and he said, you're an idiot if you believe there's a God. Why, if there's a God, I shake my fist in rebellion against him. And if there is a God, knock me off this podium and knock me out. Next thing you know, a guy had slipped up. He was an ex-Marine going to college. And he decked the guy. Knocked him out. When he came to, he said, what was that for? He said, well, the Lord's pretty busy right now. So I filled in. Knocked him out. The fool may say there is no God, 1,000 times a day, but it will not change the reality that God is. And that He reigns supreme over all things. Psalm 115 verse 3, "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased." One of my favorite confessions of faith is that of Nebuchadnezzar after he had spent time as God smote him with the disease of lycanthropy, where a man takes on the attributes of an animal. And he was out in the pasture eating grass. This is the king of Babylon. And God restored him. I believe God saved him. Listen to what he said after he had been, after his senses were restored. This is what Nebuchadnezzar said in Daniel 4:35. "And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will. In the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou?" There is a God. The fool contends that there is no God. It's alarming to me how many people profess to be atheists in our present world. Europe is overrun with atheism. Our universities, places of higher learning in the United States, overrun with atheism. You know what's happening when you deny the true and living God and you profess atheism? Do you realize false religion will fill that void? Why do you think the Muslim religion, which is, it's demonic. If you've ever really studied Islam, what they believe, they don't believe in Jesus as the Savior of sinners. They believe that Muhammad the prophet is the final authority for everything. And it's wicked. Well, you know what? That's why the Islamic religion has grown in Europe. It's growing in America. Partly because of atheism. Listen, atheists are equal in their hatred. They hate Jews and they hate Christians. Oh, come on. You can't. Yes, they do. For some reason or another, they will tolerate Islam in our world. But the atheist is at war with someone he contends that he doesn't even believe in. That's nonsensical, isn't it? He'll go to great lengths to defend his indefensible position on the grounds of faulty human reasoning. I've never seen God. I've never heard God. Never smelled God. They relate everything to human reasoning, human feelings, human emotions. They have no authority. And I think what's happened in the United States of America is atheism has grown leaps and bounds because it's a religion. Whether you say, well, they profess that they are not religious. Yes, progressive secular humanism is a religion. In fact, I contend it is the state religion now in the United States of America. It's what's being pushed in schools, in government. They're fools. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The atheist mind is darkened and prejudiced with human depravity that clouds his ability to think clearly about spiritual reality. You and I ought to teach our kids, our grandkids, from the very earliest of ages, that they are accountable to God. that there is a God, that He judges sin, that there's only one way of salvation in Jesus Christ the Lord. Now, there's always been atheists. Colossians 1:21, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled." Now, there are atheists who just declare there is no God, and they do it boldly. But there are also atheists who are practical atheists. They may have some smidgen of religion. You know, they may darken the door of a Catholic church every once in a while, but they really don't believe in God, the God of the Bible. They might believe in some God of their own imagination, but not the God of the Bible. I'm convinced that most people in government are fools. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They're practical atheists. I've come to the conclusion that those who promote secular humanism are really at heart atheists because they want to get rid of God as the authority. If the atheist really believed his theory that there is no God, why does he waste his time and energy trying to convince others that there's no God? The answer is simple. The atheist is at war with God and himself. He has to do that in order to convince himself that he's right, that there is no God. The former pastor of Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, at one, I don't know when he was pastor, but T.P. Simmons, wrote a famous studies in Bible doctrine. It's been published and I don't know how many volumes have been sold. A lot of Baptist colleges used it as a theology book. Here's what T.P. Simmons said. "Men instinctively feel the existence of God. Why then do some deny it? Is it because of lack of evidence? No. It is only that this feeling is not pleasing to them. It disturbs them in their sinful course. Therefore, they conjure up arguments to erase the thought of God from their minds. Every atheist and agnostic labors mainly to convince himself. When he presents his arguments to others, it is partly through a desire to test them and partly in self-defense. It is never through a feeling that his views can be of any help to others." How could atheism help anybody? There's no comfort in atheism. An atheist is a man who through love of sin has tampered with his mind and has brought it into a state of war with his heart, wherein the mind attacks the heart and tries to wrest the feeling of God from it. The heart counteracts the mind and seeks to compel the mind to retain the thought of God. In this warfare, the mind, therefore, is constantly looking for arguments to use as ammunition. As it finds these arguments, it fires them at the heart with the loudest possible report. This is why an atheist likes to expose his thinking. He is at war with himself, and it gives him confidence when he hears his guns exploding. You know, some of the most contentious and hateful people on the face of the earth are atheists, who contend that there is no God, no law, no salvation. They have no joy. See, atheism is a religion, and it's a religion of negatives. Everything about it tries to negate God, hope, salvation, moral authority, the inspiration of Scripture, everything about it. In order for a man to deny God, he has to thoroughly immerse himself in human philosophy that is often deceitful and vain. How do you know somebody who's given over to human philosophy? Prime example, climate alarmists. I call them, environment. Remember Arbor Day, how innocent that was? Let's go plant a tree in 1972. Oh, what a wonderful thing. And leaves need carbon dioxide to make things green. I don't have it all, but I'm going to tell you something. That was an innocent thing. Here we are today, and they're trying to, it's human philosophy. And if you disagree, which I strongly do, I believe that God is the one who put all the natural resources in our world, and that He's even gone beyond that. He's given men the ability to use them efficiently. So it's destroying the environment. Listen, God is He controls the environment. That's why I call them climate commies. They want to take control of everything. Why do they want to get rid of gas engines, the climate commies? Well, you can always fill up with gas and keep going. You got an electric vehicle, they can turn that off. Especially if your social scorecard on your card isn't just right. Oh, he went to church, he listened to that Baptist preacher. We're going to take points off for that. Oh, that'll never... It happens in China. I don't want a culture like China's. They're given over to atheism. Don't you understand that the very tenets of Marxism, socialism, communism demand that there is no God? That the elites are God. They'll tell you what's best. The brightest and the best. They'll tell us what's best. They'll tell us everybody ought to every woman ought to have the right to kill the child in their womb right up to birth. I say they're practical atheists. They've rejected God. Folks, if you disagree with them, they call you anti-science. All right, look at Colossians 1. There's nothing new in this world. God knew this was going to happen. He even warns against it. Look over there in Colossians chapter 2, verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. He is commending them for their allegiance to Christ, their love of Christ, their abiding in Christ, their walking with Christ. But notice what he says. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you. When something's spoiled, it's rotten. It's stinking. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. What was that word they used? Corrupt. Stinking. Rotten. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You know what? They are believing in science, falsely so called, rather than God and His Word. And I believe they ought to be exposed. The fool is corrupted, morally and mentally. They don't think right on purpose. They willfully are ignorant on purpose. Atheists want to believe there is no God because they don't like the idea that they are accountable to God. Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now you may proclaim it upon the housetops that there's no God, but it's not going to spare you from the lake of fire. God's going to judge you for your infidelity and your unbelief. They are corrupt, according to our text, meaning they are rotten, putrid, and a stench in the nostrils of God. Now, that's true of every sinner. But He's giving us at the very top of the heap are people who are so in love with themselves and their sins that they don't want to acknowledge that there's a God. Secular humanists promote their unwholesome principles on the premise that there is no God, no law that proceeds from Him, no standard of right and wrong. In fact, they detest the idea that there are limitations. No absolute accountability, no restraint to lust. How is it that we are where we are today as a society when there's so much sexual promiscuity and perversion that has permeated our society? How is that? Atheism, hatred for God, casting off His law and His principles. No restraint to lust, no limit to passion, no order. He is a fool morally and philosophically. John Gill, the Baptist theologian, said, there is much evidence that the mind of the atheist is never fully victorious over his heart. The number of real speculative atheists have been very few, if any. Some have boldly asserted their disbelief of a God, but it is a question whether their hearts and mouths have agreed, at least they have not been able to maintain their unbelief long without some doubts and fears. Shelley, who was expelled from Oxford for writing a pamphlet on the necessity of atheism, delighted in thinking of a fine intellectual spirit pervading the universe. Voltaire is said to have prayed in an Alpine thunderstorm, and when dying, said, O God, if there be a God, have mercy on me. T.P. Simmons said, therefore we conclude with Calvin. Those who rightly judge will always agree that there is an indelible sense of divinity engraven upon men's minds. There is no rational explanation of this law of nature except on the hypothesis that God exists. You know, nothing wholesome has ever come from an atheistic viewpoint. What are the biggest atheistic countries? Well, originally the Soviet Union, who first embraced and put into practice totalitarian rule, the philosophy of Marxism and Lenin and socialism and communism. The biggest nation right now is China. that's given over to atheism. And socialism and communism are both based on the idea that man is the center of the universe and that there's no God to regulate their behavior. It's not a harmless error. It's spawned a host of evils that have profoundly influenced our society in a negative way. You can't find anything that is praiseworthy in atheism. In fact, I would think it'd be a pretty miserable existence to go around trying to convince people that there is no God. I don't know how anybody could ever accept evolution when they see a sunrise or they see the sun set over the ocean. It's one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen in my life. Or on a clear night and you see the stars and the galaxies and how innumerable they are and realize that God put them all there. He spoke them into existence. And He upholds them by the word of His power. And He's named every one of them. We can't even count them. God has a name for every star. Now, I'm not done with this sermon. I might finish it tonight. I haven't decided yet. But yeah, I'm going to finish it either tonight or next Sunday. Now, I've preached a lot against atheism. If you're lost and you don't know Jesus Christ, you're going to be spending eternity with atheists in the lake of fire. Jesus is the way. Turn to Him. Believe on Him. Believe that He died for your sins, that He was buried, that He rose again, that is not a story, but it is the only way to be saved. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Let's all stand.